says we're going live. Is it going to happen? You're live, it says. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on, it's only Tuesday? Really? Tuesday? Feels like Thursday, but here we are, talking Packers. What's up, all the fine folks in the comments section? Good to see everybody. Bunch of regulars, bunch of new people. It's the way I like it. Good to see everyone. Obviously, the title of the blog post today or the video is Aaron Rodgers is going to ball out in 2020. I think the acclimation period is over. I think he and Matt are going to be even more deeply entwined this year, especially with all the outside noise, given all the speculation and temperature taking that we're going to see throughout the next X number of months. I think Aaron and Matt are both going to relish laying waste to people on offense. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be greatest show on turf reincarnate or anything like that, but I do think they're going to surprise some people, especially Rodgers, in the sense that he had a fine year last year. His numbers were good, if not great. But I don't think any honest observer looked at Rodgers' performance last year and thought, oh, yeah, that's vintage Rodgers. That's, you know, old school stuff. And I'm not saying he's going to turn back the clock and suddenly become the dynamo out of the pocket that we got used to during run the table days. But I do think he's going to be playing within structure a little bit more. I think the versatility of the offense is going to be brought to the fore, so to speak. It's going to be leaned on a little bit more. And I just think Aaron's propensity for manufacturing slights doesn't need it anymore, because now there's this perception that the Packers just can't wait to move on, whether that's real or not. He'll use that as fuel. And I think for the very first time in a long time, he's got a legitimate sense of something to prove. That's just me. Hello to everybody in the comments. What's up? Let's see. What's up? Going off Andy's article today about 12, how many buyers would really be in the race that would really entice Goody? I don't know. It only takes one, right? But I got to think there are at least a handful of teams that would be interested in giving up something for Rodgers. I'm not saying that people are going to be throwing, you know, top 15 picks at the Packers for the right to bring Aaron back or bring Aaron in the fold. Yeah, I think they could definitely get a day 2 pick for him, though. And who knows, if they get some kind of bidding war, they gin something up. Yeah, they could probably get something even a little bit better. But I've just seen a comment that says Joe Callahan would have beat out Rodgers in love. So, you know, what am I going to do? My whole day is thrown now. Oh, I love it. Nags, what, if anything, can we say about Looney's transition to tight end? Oh, that I love that it's still getting headlines. I saw something was written today about how he's down 30 pounds or whatever and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a miracle if he makes the team. Come on. They are holding out hope in hopes that they're wasted late round pick becomes something worth holding on to. I mean, unless he becomes a special teams demon, I'd be shocked if he makes the 53. Mr. Acoustic King, thanks for the super chat. Prediction for most productive rookie this year. Well, I mean, when you say productive, that would lend itself to a conversation about people putting up stats. And I've said before, I think the rookie who will have the greatest contribution is John Runyon, because I expect him to win the right guard spot sooner rather than later. That's just guesswork on my part, obviously. The man has not even stepped on an NFL football field yet. But if you were talking about either possibly, you know, guys with the ball in their hand or guys on the defensive side of the ball, I would probably say A.J. Dillon, just because of the nature of the position. The jump from college to the pros is not that steep. As opposed to H-back / tight end, where I think DeGuara is really going to be swimming in it early on. But I think they'll both be effective. I don't think there's going to be any shyness about utilizing either of their skill sets. John, thanks for the super chat. Who do you think is the most overrated and underrated player on the Packers? Well, the overrated, underrated thing is always the same. It's who's doing the rating. You know, I mean, to my sense, there's not too much of anybody that's severely overrated, especially when you consider how much Za'Darius Smith and company did last year, especially him and Preston, as far as getting to the quarterback, applying pressure. No all pro votes, you know, no Pro Bowl, etc. That's a pretty damn underrated player, but he's perfectly rated by Packers fans. We know how damn good he is. And I know the popular answer for overrated is probably Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think that's true. I think most, again, Packers fans know exactly how good he is. And I think people in the national sphere kind of tend to get upset with all the coverage because he has been so good for so long, etc. But, you know, I usually punt on that question, and I'm going to punt again because, you know, who's doing the rating is always the answer to that question. Matt, thanks for the super chat. I'm hungry for a Gravedigger burger and another Gilbert Brown on this roster. Did you ever eat one? Matt, I did back in the day. They were monstrous, man. I don't think I ever finished one in one sitting just because they were a lot to handle. But they were very good. I'll say that. Underrated is definitely TD Jesus. Ooh, Brandy. Again, but who's doing the rating? I don't think Packers fans underrate him. I think the outside world probably does. There's no question about that. I think some Packers fans maybe overrate him a little bit. I mean, I love him. You guys know I love me some Touchdown Jesus. But again, who's doing the rating? Bryson, thanks for the super chat. Whoever that center for the Vikings always gets owned by Kenny Clark, and I love it. Yeah, he was a rookie, what, 2 years ago? Or was it this past year? And yeah, Kenny absolutely mauled him both games last year. And I look forward to many more years of that after Kenny signs his extension. It's going to be a lot of fun. Peter, I thought the start of your question said, Nagler, how stoned are you? And I can tell you, I am not at all. It's been a long time, probably been since college. But your actual question is, Nagler, how stoked are you for Dylan? And how good do you think Martin will be? With Kirksey and Martin in the middle, we seem to be adding some attitude. Two parts. I'll go with Dylan first. I am very stoked, as I was the night he got drafted. I think he'll be a perfect complement to what Jones and Williams will be doing early in games. I think then you bring in Dylan, let him kind of salt things away in the third and fourth quarter, let his power get it unleashed on defenses with a lead. I'm very, very, very excited to see him on the field. And then on the other side, I love the idea of Martin. I love his instincts. I do worry about interior linemen getting up on him. That does not bode well for the young man. But who knows? Maybe he is much more adept at getting off blocks than I'm giving him credit for. We'll see. Okay, make sure I didn't miss any super chats. Even with all the bullshit to sift through lately, I would like to acknowledge and appreciate the attitude shift that Goot is bringing to this football team. It's refreshing. Well, it's an attempt, right? I mean, clearly he did a pretty major overhaul last offseason of the defense, and you saw forward movement there. You saw productivity. You saw much better performances in certain areas. Now, clearly they have work to do in other areas, but yeah, I think he definitely brought an attitude with the guys he brought in free agency and the guys he drafted. I think there's definitely an attempt on the offensive side this year to go in that direction, a little bit more physical, definitely more multiple. We'll see if that translates. You know, you're always an extension of your coach, and I've yet to see something out of Matt that suggests that they're going to get down and dirty anytime soon. He definitely likes to run the ball, which I love that, but I think that's a TBD, but I agree with your premise that Gutekunst has tried to go in a direction of bringing a little bit more nasty to the team, a little bit more physicality, something trying to shed that finesse label that they had under McCarthy for so long. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. If we've learned one thing from the Pro Bowl selections, it's that, so many super chats. Sorry. It's that Z won't make the Pro Bowl until his play tails off slightly. I mean, you're probably right. And then once you make it, you're pretty much in for life. Off name recognition. So yeah, you're probably right on that regard. John, thank you for the super chat. Overrated / underrated based on what Packers fans think. I would say Kumro is overrated and Amos is underrated. Oh man, it's a good one. Packers fans, if they're overrating and underrating players. And I see why you're saying Kumro, but I don't ever hear anyone saying Kumro should be number one over Devontae Adams or Kumro is better than most other wide receivers in the league. I hear Kumro should play more, which I agree with. And I hear people appreciating his blocking, which they should. So again, I don't know. I'm maybe privy to different conversations, but, and as far as Underrated for Amos. I mean, you got really excited that week one interception, right? And, you know, he was – it's hard not to appreciate him because he definitely solidified the back end, you know, of the defense, a spot that was rife with problems for a very long time. There's no question about it. I think he struggled a little bit once he lost Darnell Savage when they had that stretch where he was kind of back there with a rotating group. I was watching the Raiders game the other day, and, you know, they split the safeties there on that deep cover two throw a couple of times, and Amos is late rotating. And, you know, I think it's a work in progress. It was a new system for him. So, and like I said, he was working with a lot of different parts. But yeah, I hear that, like, maybe he doesn't get talked about a lot. Maybe he doesn't get mentioned as often as some of the other players, but I don't think that's a slight in any way, shape, or form. What else we got? Michael, thanks for the super chat. Week two versus the Lions will be my first time at Lambeau Field. Any suggestions of what I should do while in Green Bay? Man, I get this a lot. And, you know, really, Corey is your Green Bay contact. But for me, you got to go to Kroll's. You got to do the historic, especially that early in the season. It'll still be really nice. Make sure you check out the historic walking tour with all the famous historic spots of Packers history. Obviously, hit up the Hall of Fame, Packers Hall of Fame. All that stuff is definitely a must appointment stuff while you're in Green Bay, no doubt about it. And if you're there, I mean, like I said, it's going to be nice. Make sure you hit up Titletown. The whole area, whole vibe around the stadium is really lovely that early part of the year. And if you're coming in, presumably for the weekend, if you're there on Saturday, there's tons to do. I don't know if you're bringing kids or what have you, but there's tons for families to do. They've really built it up. They've opened up some really cool bars and restaurants with lots of stuff to do, including some outdoor seating where you can just chill and have a beer. So yeah, make sure you check that out. It's pretty dope. Otis, thank you for the super chat. What we got here? Let's bring in Gabriel and Snacks. Do we have cap? Whew. Not really. Not for both of those, especially. I think both of those ships have sailed. I would love Taylor Gabriel in a Packers uniform. You guys know that. I've talked about it all offseason, but I think this is your 90-man roster for the time being, at least, unless they shuffle the bottom of it. I think I'll be very surprised if they bring in Snacks. I think he'll get probably a solid one-year deal from somebody, probably after somebody suffers an injury. Maybe that's Green Bay, but I tend to doubt it. Steve, thanks so much for the super chat. Cheers, buddy. Thank you. That's very generous of you. Frank, thank you for the super chat. Is there an argument to be made that with Rodgers' salary, it could be a detriment to the ability of Gutekunst has to properly build a defense? No, 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 nope, nope, nope. That is your job. As the general manager, you have a salary cap. You have a structure within the confines of said cap. Yes, you have a superstar quarterback who, by the way, was way underpaid for a very long time. And now you are paying him consummate with the rest of the stars at that position in the league. I mean, sure. Would you love a ton more money and cap space to utilize to build your defense? Yeah, of course. But Gutekunst just spent a ton of money and a bunch of draft capital on the defensive side of the ball last year. It is reasonable to expect that 1 year in, that should still be paying off dividends. That should still be developing, especially those draft picks. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but that's not an excuse in any way, shape, or form. 31 other general managers are dealing with the same kind of shit. Maybe not that specific problem, but there's a cap for everybody, and Rodgers is part of it. Sociable. Matt, thank you for the super chat. Very nice of you, buddy. Holy cow, I got so many super chats. Got to get to them all. Nathan, thank you. Ted Thompson and Ozzie Newsome used to play in the same era. Any future GMs playing in the league you'd bet on? Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I don't know. Not that I'm aware of off the top of my head, guys I've spoken to, say, in locker rooms or that I've heard about. There were a couple guys back in the day that I thought, like, I remember thinking Mike Wall might get into personnel, but then he went into business instead. But yeah, current players, I'll keep my ears open. That's a really good question. But nobody that I've ever, as a kind of like most guys have interests outside of football, but they don't tend to be personnel for NFL team interests. But yeah, that's a really good question. I'd love to hear if anybody has. I'll ask around. Bryson, thank you for the super chat. Darnell Savage will be the greatest savage since Randy. Now that is quality content right there. Salud, my friend. Let's see what we got here. Riley, thank you for the super chat. Seth, thank you for the super chat. Who wins in a fight, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? How many rounds? That's a really good question. I want to say Aaron, just because he's got such a competitive nature and a chip on his shoulder, probably sick of hearing about Brady, blah, blah, blah. But I think Brady would fight dirty. So I'd probably go with Tom. Good Lord, I got to keep up with all these. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. How would missed games due to COVID-19 impact player contracts? If they don't play this year, would it still be a year accrued? Very good question. And actually, Andrew Brandt touched on that kind of thing today. I can't remember if it was a column or a blog post, but there are intricacies to work through in everybody's contracts. There's no doubt about it. It depends on the number of games missed, ultimately. I mean, if you go by the letter of the law, I think it's week, if you aren't, what is it, week 14, something like that. If you haven't played, then your contract rolls over to the next season. But that's obviously in very different circumstances. I do think if it comes down to, much like we're seeing with Major League Baseball and their players union right now, if it starts to get close to game time and they're talking about canceling games and or pushing games, blah, 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 you can bet the league and the union will definitely be having conversations around that type of thing. I think it's really early to be worrying about it yet, but there's zero question that is going to be on their radar the closer we get to the season, if and when they start talking about, okay, how are we really going to play these games? Dylan, thank you for the super chat. Thoughts on right tackle? Was hoping for Valdir to return. I was too. I thought it was a lock, actually. But he is old, and he did miss a majority of the season last year. And yes, he did play very, very well in place of Bulaga last year when called upon. But, you know, those older guys, there's nothing to say he's going to make it through a 16-game season. I get banking on Wagner. Yes, he had a down year last year. But if he can return to just, you know, his form from 2 years ago, he's more than serviceable. And hell, even the way he played last year, they can make the offense work. And who knows, maybe one of those guys they drafted on day three. They've done it before. David Bakhtiari jumped up and made something of himself right away. It could happen again. I tend to doubt it will, but I think they'll give those guys every shot and competition in camp, etc. But right now, they're fine with Wagner. He's a fine stopgap. There will be a noticeable dip. There's no doubt about it. He's not Bulaga, but the offense can absolutely operate with him there. No question. Steele, thank you for the super chat. Shout out to Franklin, Wisconsin for being the home of Carmex. True story. I love you guys. Hey, man, whatever. Cool. Zachary, thank you for the super chat. That beer looks delicious. I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you guys what I'm drinking tonight. I am drinking a Dale's Pale Ale because this shit is so good. Here it is. This is Nectar of the Gods. I'm telling you. Oscar Blues, give me a call. I love that the Bears moved up for Trubisky instead of Watson or Mahomes. McCaskies have got a McCaskey, and Vince blessed them for it. Uncultured. I hear you, man. I love it. It's always fun time to laugh at the Bears. There's no doubt about it. Oh, Don Vito 608. Thanks for the super chat. Jordan Love carries the G. That's all. Preach it, man. I feel you. Bryson, thank you for the super chat. Brady is a cheater. He would Tanya Harding and before they fight. I love it. Nicholas, thank you for the super chat. How about Rashawn Gary and Mike Daniels in a fight? Oh my God, that's Mike Daniels. Come on. Come on. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Rashawn. He's a fine young man, but maybe that's the problem. He's too fine a young man. Mike Daniels would whoop somebody's butt. I don't care if it's Rashawn Gary. I don't care if it's Gary Marshall. He'd kick somebody's ass. Uncultured, thanks for another super chat. What are the chances that one of the rookies will start at right tackle? I was just talking about that. There's a shot. I think it's a bit of a long shot, no doubt about it. But I think if they come into camp and they prove that they belong and they put up a fight, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever to see them, you know, hand that spot to a rookie. If he was, you know, clearly the better player, yeah, there's a shot. I think it's a long shot, but it could happen. Marco, thank you for the super chat. Aaron, call you yet? Sure, he has your number. Aaron Rodgers hasn't called me yet. I got to say, I'm getting a little despondent, you know? I mean, it's pretty clear he knows who I am at this point, even after his retweet, but just waiting, Aaron. Just waiting on your call, buddy. Just waiting by the phone. The Packers seem to want to run the ball a little more this year. Running a play and being successful are two different things. How do you see the Packers addressing this? Well, Brandy, I think a big part of that is repetition. I think they'll run the ball probably about as much as they did last year. I don't think it'll be a great, huge uptick. I think the situational part of it, like when they choose to run, how much in certain situations, that may change a tad. But for the most part, they were pretty damn run heavy comparative to the rest of the league last year, and I don't expect that to change. I think they got to be a little bit more successful early on downs, especially to get themselves out of those second and third and longs. But man, that's their offense. And I don't think there's anything that they can do outside of just drill it, you know? And even then, the environment we're in where guys aren't going to be allowed to be on the field until probably late August at the earliest, we'll see how successful that is. I got to think they'll probably be leaning on the pass a little bit more early in the year. Christian, thank you for the super chat. Over under three running backs with 500 plus yards. Woo, that's a bit rich for my blood. I'm going to take the under, but you go bet that. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers with me tonight. 256 fine Packers souls just sitting here on a Tuesday night in May talking Packers. It's what we love here at Cheesehead TV. And hey, please do me a favor. Hit like on this video, hit subscribe on the channel, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.